Welcome to the Duluth Vineyard Podcast. This message is recorded from one of our weekend services. As a church, we are a community from all different walks of life who are learning to love God and love one another. We're a place where everyone is welcome, true believers, along with the curious, the skeptical, the wounded, and even the disillusioned. We're a place of new hope and second chances. We're a church where God can be found. You can find out more about the Vineyard Church in Duluth on our website at duluthvineyard.org. Thanks for listening.
All right, so we are going to have my husband Michael come and share with us a little bit this morning.
Good morning. You did not set your clocks wrong. We are changing the order of the service if you just walked in. We want to, over this next few messages, and maybe even beyond that for a few months, what we're going to do is we're going to put our worship at the end of our service so that we're going to be talking about Jesus and who he is, and then set aside some time at the end of our service to worship him before we actually go into ministry time. So we're changing things up just a little bit. So we're in a season of the church calendar. Did you guys know the church had a calendar? I don't know, some people are shocked. I didn't grow up in the church, and so I didn't understand any of this stuff until, you know, quite a few years ago when I started following Jesus. It's a long time ago now, 30-some years. But I make it sound like yesterday, but it wasn't yesterday. Good morning. How you guys doing? You doing all right? Everybody, you okay? Anyway, so we're in a season of the church calendar called Advent, and Advent just basically means the arrival or preparing for the arrival of something. We're preparing, obviously, Advent season. We're preparing for Christmas. And so one of the things that's really easy to do this time of year, obviously, and I think it gets talked about, you know, probably in every church in the world, or especially in America, is that it's easy to get our focus off of Jesus this time of year and get our focus just on, like, whatever else we happen to want to find underneath the Christmas tree. You know, that it's easy to get our focus on to, you know, things other than who Jesus is and what he's doing in our lives and what he's done in our lives. And so what we want to do over the next few weeks is actually learn how to prepare ourselves spiritually for what God wants to do. It's not just a physical preparation. Anybody get their Christmas tree yet? Ah, a couple of you. And but those hands were like very like, you know, they're like, I did, I don't want to be mocked. That was good, you know. There's not just a physical preparation. I wouldn't mock you for long. No, I'm teasing. I have a bad reputation, and it's well-deserved. There's not just a physical preparation in terms of getting ready for Christmas, but there's this spiritual thing that I think God wants to do in us. And so that's what we're going to take some time, and we're going to talk about that. What we're going to focus in on is some of the names used of Jesus in the scriptures. You may or may not realize this, but in the Bible, there are over 100 names used of Jesus. Names like Prince of Peace and Bright Morning Star, King of Kings, Alpha and Omega. One of the names is only used two times. The one I'm going to focus on today, Emmanuel, is only used two times in the scriptures. It's used in a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. In fact, if you have a Bible, why don't you open it up to that one, Isaiah chapter 7. And then if you want to, like if you're really industrious, if you're aggressive, you can also open it up to Matthew chapter 1, put your finger in each one. And we're going to read both of those. They say almost the exact same thing, 700 years apart. And talking about who Jesus is and kind of what some of the stuff that he wants to do in our lives. And so here's what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about what Emmanuel means, and then we're going to just really invite him to come and be that in us. So let me pray, and then we'll dive into this a little bit. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here right now. And my prayer, as we kind of take a look at this, is that you would make yourself incredibly real to every single one of us. I can't think of anything worse than just going through the motions. And so, God, would you come and make yourself real to us? In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It reads like this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And then look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. You know, the first thing I want to talk about here is this gift of actually being present. There's nothing that can really take the place of actually being with another person. Now, I know, like, we've got, like, great technology that can almost be like being there, right? But even if you're, like, making a Skype call where you can actually see somebody on your computer screen as you're talking to them, I can guarantee you that kissing them is not the same. You can't really hold their hand. You know, it's just like, bonk, hit the computer screen. There's an amazing gift that we can give to one another in actually just being present with one another. Not just giving gifts, but actually being with one another. I mean, you can text somebody all day long, but it's not the same as kind of putting your arm around them when they're having a really hard day. Right? There's like a whole different thing there. Emmanuel, God with us, being with us. Now, some of us are really actually afraid of being really present with another person. Have you ever been with somebody, like, to such a strong degree? Have you ever been even with God at some point to such a strong degree that it almost felt scary? Like, you're being so vulnerable, so transparent, so open, so honest, that you begin to regret the words as they're coming out of your mouth. Have you ever been in that situation? Most of us have, partly because we've been hurt and burned in the past, right? Like, there's this time that you're with somebody to such an intense degree that it almost gets a little scary. And for some of us, our relationship with God is kind of like that. That I'm kind of afraid of him being too close. Like, I've talked to many people, and I've had experiences myself where I'm spending time, I'm with God, I'm alone, I'm in prayer, but, like, odd things start to happen. Like, I don't know even how to explain it. Words don't even describe how all of a sudden things don't seem like they are. It's like I took the wrong pill in the Matrix or something. I just jumped back another generation, didn't I? Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean? It's like, and sometimes because of what we've experienced with one another, sometimes because of what we feel like we've experienced with God, this whole idea of really being present, really being with him, can feel kind of frightening, but yet we still want it. Like, we still long for those times when we are really with another person to such a strong degree that it almost feels like there's no going back. And I believe that God's actually created us for that kind of an experience. I wrote it this way, that he's created us to be active participants with one another, not just impartial observers. We're not just like news reporters watching something happen in other people's lives. God's actually made us to be really deeply engaged and involved with one another. Have you ever been sitting with somebody, or maybe it's been you, you're sitting there and you're like in the room together, but you're not really there. It's like you're in the same room. Maybe you're even eating the same meal. You're actually having the same conversation, but one of you is just not there. Have you ever had that happen? There's this amazing gift that we can give to one another of really actually being present. And that's the gift that God gives us in Jesus. That's what the word Emmanuel is really all about. God is with us. He's right there every step of the way. In fact, when you look at the scriptures, you find that this is the promise that runs throughout the whole Bible. It's like the whole Bible actually kind of reeks, it emanates this promise of really being present. From the beginning to the end, the promise of God is that one day he would be present with his people. And so you find really at the very near the very beginning of the scriptures, and I could go back even further all the way to, you know, creation, as God creates this beauty and this mystery out of the chaos that's there. He creates the climax of his creation as the humanity, that first human couple, and he's with them. He walks with them in the garden in the cool of the day. How cool would that be? Just walking with God as the sun sets. And it's a promise that he made to, I got to step back. If I'm going to tell that story, I got to tell the very next one that comes after that. All that was broken and all that was lost. That incredible unbridled intimacy, that incredible joy that the first human couple had with God, because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion from God, because they decided they wanted to be like God and do things their own way, then all of a sudden, Genesis chapter 3, they lose all that intimacy. They lose all that relationship. The whole thing is broken. And I love right at the climax of all that being broken, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God's the one who says, I'm going to put this thing back to right again. And he makes this promise that one day he's going to be with his people. And then it comes up over and over and over again in the scriptures. And so God makes a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and tells Abraham that, like, if you follow me, like, I will set you apart. If you leave the land that you know, if you leave your mom and dad and everything that you know and go to a land that I'm not going to tell you where it is yet, but I'll show you as you go, it's like, I'm going to make your name great. Like, there'll be descendants, the fruit of your loins will never end, you know? I like that word, fruit of your loins. It's just kind of a gross phrase, you know, so it's fun. Anyway, so like he tells Abraham, this is like going to go on, this is going to like go on forever. Like, I will be with you. He tells him in Genesis chapter 15, do not be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your reward. That's an incredible thing. God tells Abraham that I'm your reward. Like, I'm the prize that you get at the end of all this. It's pretty cool. When God rescues the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. You know, he tells Moses this. God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. And this will be the sign that is I who have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Talking about Mount Sinai, where Moses first meets with God. Moses is complaining and whining and saying, but why me? Why send me? God makes this promise. I will be with you. This is the promise of Emmanuel. And it comes up again and again and again. After they're rescued from Egypt, the whole nation of Israel is around Mount Sinai. God begins to speak to Moses and say, it's time to move on. I want you to move on from this place. And Moses says this, says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? The thing that distinguishes God's people is God's presence. Did you hear that? The thing that distinguishes God's people is God's presence. It's his personal presence. It's this Emmanuel. It's just that he wants to be with them. He says this to Joshua after Moses, so it's not just a Mo thing. This keeps going. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And we could go through all the old Hebrew prophets. We could go through every single one of them. This promise comes up again and again and again. King David got it. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is the great promise of the scriptures. And Jesus, when he comes and he teaches, he actually picks up the same thing. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. There I am. This is a promise for after Jesus leaves, because like where two or three come together in his name while he was there, if he didn't happen to be around that campfire, he wasn't with them, was he? So this is a promise that for after he leaves. And he says it again, Matthew 28, right before the book of Matthew ends, he says, surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. And then if you skip ahead and you read the very end of the book, the Apostle John has this revelation of what heaven is like. And he writes this, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, just like it was back at the beginning. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" There is this promise of the presence of God, God being with us. It comes up in the name Emmanuel, but it's throughout the whole scripture, over and over again. I actually went through and found like 60, 70 scriptures this week that just speak of this. I had a hard time putting the message together because I thought, wow, I could just read these. This is cool. But then I sat there and I'm like, so God, what do you want to do as a result of that? Like, okay, the scripture kind of just speaks of this over and over again, but what do you really want to do in our lives today as a result of that? Do you realize that according to the Bible, where we're at right now, the time between Jesus' first coming, when he came as a first century Palestinian baby at Christmas that we celebrate, and this time before his next coming, when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee will bow and worship, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. We live in this in-between time. It's like, what about right now? What's going on right now? Well, here's something Jesus told us about right now in John 14. He said, "I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth." See, the Holy Spirit, sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't get talked about lots in churches, or sometimes the Holy Spirit only gets talked about in really weird ways, right? The Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God. The gift that God gives us in Emmanuel is his own presence, his longing to be with us. One theologian wrote it this way, and I love it. "The outpouring of the Holy Spirit," let me get that up there, there we go, "means that God has fulfilled his promise to dwell once again in and among his people." He's fulfilled his promise, this Holy Spirit. Sometimes I like to freak people out, and I just like to do that a lot, actually. And so I like to ask the question, like, tell me about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's easy for us sometimes to relate to Father God, either in a positive or negative way, because we had fathers. That's partly how we came into existence. It's easy for us to relate to God the Son. We understand Jesus as a Palestinian man who, you know, baby that grew up into a man and then gave his life for us on the cross, that's the only way we have relationship with God. Sometimes it's easy to wrap our minds around those things, but tell me about your relationship with the Holy Spirit, God's personal presence in your life right now. See, the way that he wants to be present with us is the gift of the Spirit. That's a little harder to wrap our minds around, isn't it? Especially as 21st century Americans. Like, we're really used to, whether we think we're postmodern or not, we're really, and we've been seeped in modernity where if you can't touch it and feel it and see it and, you know, dissect it, then it doesn't exist. And the Spirit of God is not really dissectable. Yet he's absolutely and completely real in every part of our lives. Like, in my life, over and over again, I've tried, like, little prayer experiments. I don't know if you guys have tried this or if you ever thought about it, but it's really fun. You take something that really is deeply meaningful to you, that you care about. It doesn't have to be a big thing. But you begin to ask God what he thinks about that thing that you really care about. Or ask him for, like, a deep longing, a need in your life, something that you really wish was there. For some of us, it might be like a spouse, somebody to share our lives with. For some of us, it might be children, a child. For some of us, it might be a job. I mean, it could be lots of different kinds of things. You begin to ask God to speak to you about that thing. Don't just demand and whine and cry, like, come on, God, give me a break. I need this. But begin to really interact with him a little bit, like you would a person in front of you. And see what he begins to do. For some of us, it's an addictive behavior that we can't just seem to get free of. Begin to interact with him. Begin to talk to him. You see, our relationship with him isn't meant to be kind of this one-way deal where in my mind's eye, some of us, what we do is, you know, we like there's this big, long string between us and God, and we close pins on it, we put a little note on there, and we just run it up there, you know, to God. It's like, it takes a long time because he's way up there, you know, but we're doing all this work, and we're trying to get our note up to him, and hopefully it doesn't fall off on the way, and he gets it, and hopefully he can read our chicken scratch, and then he can, you know, figure out what he's supposed to do at the end of that thing, and then hopefully something happens as a result of that. And we're always watching the string to see if anything's coming back, and we spend a lot of time. Our relationship with God's not like that. It's meant to be like being there with another person in this intimate and experiential and personal and very, very real way. And I love the way that Jesus, while he was on earth, not only did he teach about this stuff, not only did he talk about it, not only did he say the kingdom of God is at hand, it's like right there, it's available. This relationship with God because of Christ is right here, it's really close. Not only that, but he actually showed us what it looked like. That there was real authority and real power in his life because of relationship with God. And that because of that interactive personal relationship, there was real stuff that took place. There were real blind people who were able to see. There were real lepers who their skin was made brand new. There were real people that couldn't walk that ended up being able to walk. There was real healing. There was real deliverance because there's real demons. It's like the stuff ended up being incredibly real, this. Because the presence of God is here, because God is doing that stuff, then we get invited to not only have relationship with him, but participate with him in what he's doing throughout the whole planet. Am I making any sense? This is a cool thing. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, sometimes we think of it like, hey, God, I want you to be with us because I want to win the game today or the war. Whatever it happens to be. I want God on my side, right? We kind of take it and twist it that way, but the truth is that God's presence is available, that real relationship is available. So I had a silly idea. I often do. What if we tried a little prayer experiment right here? See, because I believe the presence of God, God the Holy Spirit, is right here, right now. And I love doing this stuff. I love kind of experimenting and seeing what God wants to do, like in a given moment. Because all of a sudden, my antenna goes up and I'm wide awake and I'm thinking, wow, if he could do that, what else could he do? What else could I allow him to do? And so, let's just take it from just simply being words that I speak to something that we try. You guys game? Doesn't matter if you are or not, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a 30-second prayer experiment, and you're all going to participate with me. Here's what I'm going to do. And if you're uncomfortable, if you're new here, then you don't have to participate. Nobody will know. Here's what I'm going to do. One of the things that we believe that Jesus loves to do, even today, is he loves to heal people. And so there's a lot of ways that he can heal us, but we're going to focus on physical healing right now. And in a couple minutes, I'm going to ask those of you who are feeling physically not good. Maybe it's some chronic pain, maybe there's something wrong, maybe you broke or sprained something, cold, flu, sinus, it doesn't matter what it is, physical stuff. I'm going to ask those of you with physical stuff to stand up. And then I'm going to ask those that are around the people standing up to actually pray for them. But I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to show you how to pray very simply. And you're only going to pray for 30 seconds. You're not going to pray very long. So it's not going to be uncomfortable long, right? Just a little bit. And if you've never prayed out loud before, I'm going to tell you the exact words to pray. I don't think God cares about how creative we get. He just loves it when we take a risk. And so we don't have to get super duper creative in all this thing. And when you pray, if the person's comfortable with it, I'm going to ask you to put your hand on where it hurts. Now, obviously, there's some places where you shouldn't put your hand. And so what you'll do is you'll ask them their name, And then you'll ask them where it hurts, and if they're comfortable, you can put your hand where it hurts. And then you're going to pray very, very simply. You're just going to pray like this: God, would you come and heal? That's it. That's the only words you need. Do you need to write them down? It's very simple. God, would you come and heal? That's all we're going to say for 30 seconds. You can say it several times for 30 seconds. Here's the deal. I don't want you to give any advice or counsel. No advice, no counsel. Don't pray that the doctors have skill. Don't give any prophetic words. Don't rebuke the devil. Don't tell God how worthy the person is you're praying for. You don't know how worthy they are, right? Don't pray for anything else. That's not what we're doing right now. There's other times for that. That's not what this is. We're just going to ask God to heal them right now, right? And then at the end of 30 seconds, I'm going to say, check in with them. Because I'm going to time the whole thing, right? So it's going to go pretty quick. At the end of 30 seconds, I'm going to go check in with them and ask them how it's going. And what I've noticed is that there's kind of one of three responses. One response is they're healed immediately, right on the spot. And then you're sitting there going, really? That's amazing, right? Another response is that nothing happens at all. They don't feel anything, nothing happens. A third response is that it's somewhere in between. Wow, it's a little bit better. But, you know, it's like, it's not completely better. I sense something going on, but I don't know what it is. If it's number one, they're completely healed, then you're done. It's like, sit down, do a little happy dance, and, you know, like, go on your way. If it's number two or three, if nothing happens or if there's something going on, then I'm going to say, okay, let's pray again. And I would encourage you to use the exact same words. Again, you don't have to be creative. Just say, God, would you come and heal this person? Come and heal. Bring your restoration. Just come and heal them. And at the end of another, like, 20, 30 seconds, I'll say, okay, amen. And I'll do a little survey, and we'll see what happened. Prayer experiment. So I believe that God is here right now, and that if we just take little simple risks like this, it's amazing what he wants to do. So if you're somebody who's here, and you would like prayer, there's physically stuff going on with you, pain or whatever it happens to be, I'm going to invite you to take a risk right now and just stand up. Just stand up. If that's you right now, just stand up. We'll give a couple moments so that the people thinking about standing up can think about how badly it hurts, and then they can stand up here. Okay, so we got a bunch of people standing up. Here's what I want to do. If you're standing up, would you please raise your hand, because it's going to be hard to find you in a minute. Raise your hand, and then the rest of you, if you're comfortable, I want you to go get around the people that are standing. Okay, ready, set, go. So raise your hand so people can see your hands are raised. Now the rest of you, let's go pray for them. This is about you guys praying. I'm not going to pray. So when you get to somebody, what you want to do, there's a couple hands still raised. There's a couple hands back here in the back. Hands over here. If you got somebody praying for you, put your hand down now so that we can see who's not being prayed for yet. Anybody not being prayed for yet? Okay. Okay, so just ask them their name and where it hurts. All right, now you got 30 seconds to pray. There's half our time right there. All right, that's 30 seconds. Ask him how it's going. Okay, if nothing's happening or if it's just a little bit better, why don't you keep praying? Let's try it again a little bit. It's okay to pray out loud. Lord Jesus, we do ask that you would come and heal. Bring your presence. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Y'all can take a seat. So how many of you have never really done that before? Like, that's kind of a brand new thing to you. Look around the room. That's quite a few of us. Okay, so here's what I want to ask. I want to ask, of those of you that got prayed for, and either something happened, or you completely feel better, you completely feel different, or at least a little bit happened, like something took place in that last minute, I want you to stand back up. Let's just look around. Wow. Seriously? That's pretty amazing. Rob, tell me, like, what was wrong?
My neck's been sore.
Your neck's been sore?
Causes headaches.
Causes headaches, and what's going on right now?
I had a headache during the first half, and now I don't.
So you had a headache during the first half, and now you don't. We should have done that earlier. Yeah, that's cool. Go ahead and sit down. What's your name?
Carrie.
What was wrong? Yeah? It feels better. Very, very cool. How about you, sir?
My arthritis and my two knuckles get really sore and stuff, and just standing up feels a little better.
Cool.
Still some there, but...
Yeah, still some soreness there, but it feels a little bit better. Well, God, keep healing. That's really cool. How about with you?
I've been having a lot of lower back pain.
Lower back pain?
Yeah.
Feels a whole lot better now.
I can put up my tree.
You can put up your Christmas tree. Awesome. Excellent. I don't have time to interview everybody, but why don't you guys sit down? Isn't that amazing? It's like you just take a little tiny risk. You begin to ask God to move. It doesn't take very long at all. And then God begins to show up. Emmanuel, God with us. You see, the gift, the coolest gift that God gives to those that are following Jesus is the gift of his presence. He absolutely loves us. He absolutely does. And he wants to make his presence very real to every single one of us in ways that I believe will kind of blow our little pea-picking brains if we just let him come close. If we just let him begin to take risks. I've done this a few times now, every single time. There's people that get healed. Every single time, there's people that don't experience anything. Every time. And you know what? It has nothing to do with like your faith and all that stuff. It's like if you're somebody who was here and you didn't experience hardly anything at all and you got prayer, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean he doesn't like you. It means that he gets to decide what he's doing every single time. He gets to call the shots. He gets to do it. We just get to participate with him. And so when I get prayer and nothing happens, you know what I do? I get prayer again. And I get prayer again. And then I get prayer again. And I'm going to be like Jesus told the parable of the woman who was knocking at the judge's door until he finally like did something. I'm going to be like her. I'm going to be the annoying guy that's constantly getting prayer because I really want to see God do stuff in my life. I don't care how many times I have to knock. I don't care how many times I have to ask. I'm going to do that. So here's what we want to do. We want to worship the Jesus that we just talked about. So if I can get the worship team to come up here. And as they're coming up, let me tell you this little quick little story. John Wesley was a pastor back in the 1700s, planted really hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of churches. Today we would know them as Methodist churches because he had a method of discipling people. That's kind of where that came from. On John Wesley's deathbed, it was March 2nd, I believe 1791. On his deathbed, he'd had a stroke. He was finding it really, really difficult to talk. At one point, with a group of friends around him, he sat straight up in bed. You guys listening? Straight up in bed, waved his arms wildly, and said, "Best of all, God is with us." And then collapsed in his bed. A few minutes later, he sat straight up again, waved his arms wildly, and said, "Best of all, God is with us." And then he went to go be with Jesus. That's the best thing. That's like I started with Emmanuel. I could have saved it for the last one. Because it's the best thing that God is with us. So why don't you guys stand up? Let's spend some time worshiping together. And after a few songs, then we'll do some ministry time. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the way that you bring healing. When we just simply ask, thank you for the way that you love us. And Lord, so now we direct our hearts and our minds, our worship, we direct towards you. Lord Jesus, we confess that our help comes from you. And thank you for being our help. Thank you for being with us, God. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for all the ways that you really work in and then through us. God, I ask, my prayer is that you would draw us deeper into that experience of relationship with you. And that anything that stands in the way, Lord, you just put your finger on it. You just point it out. And then you give us the courage and the freedom to just release that, to give that to you, whatever it happens to be. Our own disobedience, our own rebellion, whatever it happens to be, God. We just give that to you. One of the things that we love to do here at the Vineyard is just take time to pray for one another. And so if you're on the ministry team, would you make your way up to the front, please? The worship team is going to continue to lead us in worship, and you're free to hang out in here as long as you want to. But I would invite you over the next little bit here to come up and get some prayer. As we begin to talk about relationship and we begin to talk about kind of pressing into our relationship with God and even relationship with one another, some of our fears get confronted and some of the boundaries that we have, boundary issues that we have, kind of get run up against. And I believe that God just wants to bring some really cool healing to us as we just make room for him in our lives, as we prepare for him, as we welcome him. And so whatever those things are for you, I just ask that you'd come up and get some prayer and allow God to kind of press in, to lean in some of those things. And if we prayed for you for healing just a little bit ago and you didn't really feel much happened, or there's still some stuff there, we would love to continue to pray for you about that too. We can take longer than 30 seconds this time. And so just hang out in here for a little bit and worship and get some prayer. Other than that, God bless you guys. Thanks so much for coming to the Vineyard, and have a great rest of the weekend.